My name is Jerry Ingalls, and I'm one of the pastors here, and I'm so thankful that you're here. I'm going to invite you to open up God's Word. We're going to be studying from Genesis to Revelation today because I don't know how else to teach you the Word of God other than to use the Word of God. The Scripture is going to be from Proverbs 29, verse 18. That's going to be our lead Scripture, but let me give you a quick introduction to let you know what we're doing so that you can kind of get the big picture. So I'm in the final messages of a long sermon series that started January of last year, finishing it over the next couple of weeks. We'll be done by the end of this month. And this series has been called Train to Live on Mission Today, the Battle Drills of a Christian Soldier. So I'm leveraging my own military background and some of those studies to help us understand when the Apostle Paul called us to be good soldiers of Jesus Christ. I'm trying to help us understand what in the world was he talking about? Why would he bring military imagery into the Scriptures to help us understand how to live for Jesus? Just in case you're interested, the theme passage that we unpacked for this whole sermon series is 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 to 4. You would be here all day if I had to do all those messages again. The point is that we are learning how to make the Word of God instinctive, reflexive, and habitual. We want to be able to respond to the circumstances in our life in a way that the Word of God is instinctive, reflexive, and habitual. Because if you don't train the Word of God and the promises of God to be the way you respond to circumstances, then you will be hijacked by your nervous system, by your fight or flight reflexes, by your survival instinct, by your family of origin. Something has trained you to respond. My belief as your pastor is that it should be the Word of God that trained you. It should be the Spirit of God that trained you. So you respond according to God's Word. Okay, so today we're in battle drill number 39. Two more to go after today. And it's called Communicate the Mission. Today's battle drill, Communicate the Mission. So in other words, for those of you who are interested in these things, today you're getting a message on evangelism without me using the word evangelism. Instead, I'm going to use military language, and it's so much more than that. Because today, I believe God wants to do some surgery to remove some things from your life so that you can be more intent on what God would have you do. So, it is a standard military practice to ensure that all soldiers know the mission, so that even if you are the last soldier on the battlefield, even if you're the last person standing, you can accomplish the mission. Because you need to know why you're doing what you're doing. Okay, now, in the military, leaders are charged to communicate the mission of the next two levels of command. Okay, so if I'm a platoon leader, then my job is to make sure that my soldiers know the company commander's intent and the battalion commander's intent. I need to know what the battalion commander is trying to accomplish. And my soldiers need to know two above them. They need to know what the company commander has us trying to accomplish. So all the way down to the individual soldier knows that if something happens to me, then I can do my squad leader's job. And if something happens to my squad leader, I can do the platoon leader's job. And then the squad leader could do the company commander's job. So that way the mission gets accomplished, okay? Everybody needs to know why they're doing what they're doing. Okay, a common military example of this is something easy for you to understand, is when a higher level commander knows that the ultimate purpose of his unit is to gain control, for example, of a specific bridge. Okay, there is a battalion who is charged with getting this bridge. Okay, and we need this bridge because we got to cross this river. We got to get the force across the river to get to somewhere else. Okay, now below that higher level military commander is a lower commander who's been charged with, you guard this intersection right here, so that we can get to the bridge, okay? Now, this is important because while guarding the intersection on the way to the bridge is important, and it should be done without distraction, and it should be done to the best of their ability, it's really not the point, but it's a necessary part of getting the larger mission done. So, is it less important that this unit has to guard this intersection? No, it's super important because the mission can't get accomplished if that intersection is not guarded. And ultimately, guarding the bridge is just part of a larger mission to get people across to get them to somewhere else. It's kind of like when I was a paratrooper in the 82nd Airborne Division. Jumping out of airplanes wasn't the mission, it was how we got to work. A lot of time people think, your job was to jump out of airplanes. No, our job was to jump out of airplanes to get to our jobs. But we had to train really hard so we didn't die jumping out of airplanes, so we could get to work and do our jobs. Does that make sense? Okay, now I'm gonna try to bring this in. Every task must work to accomplishing the mission. That's the point here. The military gets this. Everything is nested. There's a chain of command. Everybody knows their place, okay? But it's not so easy in the church. But the same truths apply to the church. For us to Charlie Mike, for us to be able to continue to the mission as good soldiers of Jesus Christ, we must train ourselves to communicate the mission so that we know how what each of us is called to do fits into the larger purposes of God. Every single one of us must know how what we each uniquely do fits into the purposes of accomplishing God's mission. Now, whether you greet people, help collect the offering, hold babies, teach children, work with youth, teach a class, prepare and or deliver food, send cards, help others with practical assistance, provide counseling, make videos, do visitations, care for the facilities, cut grass, fill potholes, keep the books, manage a web page, send emails, or run a soundboard, may all of those things be done to the glory of God. Colossians 3:23 says, whatever you do, do your work with your whole heart, as for the Lord rather than for men. Every single thing that must be done, and there's so many more things I could have listed there. There's things that you're doing that I didn't list, and some of you are doing some of those things I list. Whatever you may be doing, may be done for the glory of God. And when you do unto the Lord, then it's never in vain, because God will use it to accomplish his purpose. Let's now turn to the word. Proverbs 29, verse 18, the field manual of every good soldier, and learn the battle drill that will help us accomplish this. Here we go. Proverbs 29, verse 18. Where there is no vision or revelation, where there is no vision, the people are unrestrained. Some of your translations will say the people will perish. So where there is no revelation, where there is no vision, the people are unrestrained. But happy, blessed is the word there. But happy or blessed is he who keeps the law. Father, this is your word, eternal and everlasting. This is the field manual for every good soldier's life. Help us, Lord, to apply today's battle drill to our lives in such a way that it is instinctive, reflexive, and habitual for us to respond to our circumstances and to make decisions based upon this truth. In Jesus' name, amen. So I like to play chess. I'm not as good as Mr. Kennard or Mike Burkhart, but I like to play chess. My son and I play a lot of chess together, actually. Now, I've taught Bjorn, my son, how to play chess, and now he's teaching me. He's tutoring me. Mr. Kennard, I need your help, because I want to be able to beat him again. Now, I've taught him from a young age, and I did not have mercy upon him at a young age. I don't do that with my children. I teach them how to do things, and then I continue to do my best so that they have to continue to strive for it. I will be honest, I don't know why. Please, ladies, don't be mad at me. I sometimes find myself being a little bit soft on that with my girls. I'm weak in that area. For some reason it was harder to do that. It was easier to do that with Bjorn than it is to do that with my girls. But anyways, now, I taught Bjorn from the very beginning just like Mr. Kennard has helped me learn over the years as well, and I was first taught years ago, is that the point of chess, the ultimate goal of the game is to do what? Does anybody know what the ultimate purpose of the game of chess is? Yeah, to get to checkmate, to get their king, right? Yeah, you want their king, okay? Now, it's easy, trust me on this, if you haven't played, it's easy to lose sight of the ultimate goal of chess. It's easy to get caught up with all the cool pieces and how the queen can move and the different strategies and all the different things that could go on. And I taught Bjorn from a young age to stay focused on the purpose, stay focused on what the ultimate goal of the game is, because you can't lose focus on the mission or you're going to lose. So there's some carryovers there for us. Okay? But before I get to those connections, I want to share something with you. My desire for my son to do his very best in chess is no different than a father's or a mother's or a grandparent's or a Sunday school teacher's or a pastor's desire to see people following Jesus faithfully. Okay? And so there's a lot of connections here. Teaching someone how to play a game like chess, or being a coach teaching an athlete how to be successful, or a music teacher teaching a musician how to be their best, there's a lot of connections there. Because it's that master-apprentice relationship, student-teacher relationship. So does anybody know 3 John chapter 4, 3 John verse 4? I have no greater joy than this, to hear of my children walking in the truth. We say this a lot when we do baby dedications. It's just an important scripture. John said in 3 John verse 4, I have no greater joy than this, to hear of my children walking in the truth. You see, John wasn't talking about his biological children. He was talking about his spiritual children. He was talking about the church. He was saying that the whole purpose of mentoring, of discipling, of passing on the faith, is to communicate this mission that I want my spiritual children, I want my children to walk in a manner worthy of the gospel. I want them to walk in the truth. And isn't it easy to be distracted as a parent to forget that that's the purpose? Because there's so many moving pieces on the table. There's so many strategies available to accomplish this. I'm just going to let that hang out there for you. Ultimately, we'll have no greater joy than to see our children, whether biological or spiritual, with us in heaven, worshiping God for eternity. We've got to remember the ultimate goal for which Christ came. We've got to remember the ultimate purpose for which we live. So yes, that does include parenting. That does include grandparenting. It includes how we work. It includes why we gather and how we gather. It includes everything. Everything must be nested under this ultimate goal that we have. And here's the thing. While we want to partner with you as the church, as leaders and as volunteers who help the gathering and help the saints, ultimately, the responsibility is yours. You are the responsible agents of God's mission. You are his hands and feet. You are the hagias, according to the Apostle Paul, the set-apart ones, the holy ones. You are the ones who have been charged by God to do this. So while we want to partner with you, with your babies and your children, and also with the care of elderly parents and grandparents, and we want to do that faithfully, ultimately, we are your junior partners. You are the one charged by God and given the word of God and given the spirit of God to walk in this manner, remembering what the ultimate purpose is, and being faithful in the details of how you get there. We cannot lose sight of the ultimate goal of God's purposes for coming, even as we're trying to learn how all the pieces move on the table and all the strategies that are necessary to help do this. But remember, the point of chess is not simply to know how the pieces move and all the different strategies. It's to get the king. It's all about the king. Jesus said in Matthew 28, verses 18 to 20, and he gave us this mission, and I'm going to read three different passages here real quick, just to remind us. We all know this. Matthew 28, verses 18 to 20, this is called the Great Commission. Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And lo, here's the promise, I am with you always, even to the very end of the age." Do not lose sight. This is the mission that we must communicate. We hear Jesus proclaim his great rescue mission, because that's what this is. This is the great liberation of his creation. In Luke 19:10, Jesus said, "For the Son of Man has come." Why did he come? He came to seek and to save that which was lost, that which needed redemption, that which needed salvation, that which needed to learn the way to the Father so that they could be with him forever, because God's desire is that none should perish. So he sent his one and only Son to die on the cross for our sins, so that we who believe and put our faith in him and say, "Jesus, please forgive me of my sins. Please forgive me of the things that separate from you." God hears that prayer, the prayer of a child, and he says, "You are forgiven. Now go and sin no more." And he doesn't put that on you like a task you can't accomplish. He fills you with his Holy Spirit. He gives you his word. He gives you a church so that you're not alone. He will be with you even to the very end, because you're now one of the children of God. Jesus said this. This is from Acts, the history book of the early church, Acts chapter 1, verses 7 to 8. Jesus spoke of the coming Pentecost, of the coming of the Helper, the Paraclete, the third person of the Trinity, God himself who would help us live out our salvation. Jesus said to them, "It is not for you to know times or epochs." Okay, in other words, don't get caught up with current events, folks. It's important. But remember this, it is not for you to know times or epochs which the Father has fixed for his own authority, by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And what? And for what purposes? Because you're going to be my witness. The purpose. Here's the agenda. Here's the purpose of God putting you on the chessboard, whatever piece you may be. Yes, you need to learn which piece you are and how you can move and how you can't move on the board. And you got to learn the strategies to be successful. But you can't lose sight of the agenda, of why God saved you. You will receive power. Why? Because you're going to be my witnesses, both in Jerusalem, your home turf. Where are you? Your Jerusalem, Newcastle, Henry County, Indiana. Unless you're watching online, you're somewhere else. That is our Jerusalem. And in all Judea and Samaria, that is to the surrounding region, East Central Indiana, Indiana, the Midwest, Samaria, it spreads to the whole nation of United States of America, even to the ends of the earth, to the most remote part of the earth. Our battle drill for today comes from Proverbs 29:18. Where there is no vision, the people are unrestrained. If you forget the purpose for which you were saved, if you forget the ultimate goal for which you have been saved and for which God has created us, you will be unrestrained. You will get lost in trying to learn how your peace can be moved and what strategies by which it can be moved, and you'll forget that there's a bigger purpose. Where there is no vision, the people are unrestrained, but happy is he who keeps the law. Blessed is the one who knows who they are in God, knows how they are to be moved, and are willing to be moved by the master chess player, whether you're the pawn or the queen. May God be glorified. Whether you can move one piece at a time, moving forward, and be able to get a diagonal, you know, win, or you can do the cool little knight moves and jump over other pieces, may God be glorified, and may you learn to use everything God's given you for his glory. Every job is worthy. Every calling is worthy. And none of them are in vain. So whatever job you have, whatever things you're doing, whether it's volunteer or paid, if it's done unto the Lord, it's never in vain. Because you're a witness. So allow me to show you something that's really going to bring today's teaching together. Okay, so this is my, put my teacher hat on real quick. Okay, it's the word vision. It's that word vision. Now, that word vision, as I've already foreshadowed to you, as I already told you, is best translated revelation. Okay, it's not talking about, let me be clear with this, because this verse has been so abused in modern church growth church movement, it's insane. It's led more churches into secular humanism and in the ways of man than it has kept us faithful to the word. I'm just saying. I'm trying not to be judgy in how I'm saying that. Don't be offended. I'm trying to say we need to know what's underneath this word so that we rightly apply it, okay? So this word, vision, best translated revelation, like the utterances of a prophet. And remember, prophets foretell, not just foretell. So they don't just predict about like a coming flood. They speak forth the word. That's the best use of this word. Those who speak forth the word, those who give the word, those who show us the word, those who reveal the word, a revelation. Okay? It's not talking about our plans, but God's word. It's not talking about our strategies or our concepts of how to understand the pieces and how we can get there. It's talking about God's word. So let me give you a short explanation. So in the familiar King James Version, where there is no vision can be misleading. The word vision is revelation. The Hebrew word is hazan. It's the revelation a prophet receives. Also the King James Version translation, the people perish. That does not refer to, and this is an unfortunate reality of how this verse has been used, the actual Hebrew there is not referring to unsaved people dying in sin, okay? The verb para means to cast off restraint. So the verse is stating that without God's word, people abandon themselves to their own sinful ways. Now, obviously, that can lead to perishing in the classical sense of when you're living for yourself and living in sin apart from God, that can lead to the second death. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever shall believe in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. The problem is those are the same English words, but we're not looking at the same original language words. Two different perishings are being here. So one is about you casting off restraint and living your life according to your own plans. And we all know that's not going to get us somewhere good. The other one is talking about being lost in your sin, not having forgiveness, which leads to the second death. Okay? But here's the second part of Proverbs 29, verse 18, which very few people know. They think the whole verse just says, hey, people, if you don't have vision, you're going to perish. Where there's no vision, the people are going to perish. But it keeps going. Because the other point is, if you keep or obey God's law, you'll be blessed. It will bring happiness to your life. Now, Tony Evans, many of you know Tony Evans. He has a way of saying things plainly. So let me quote Tony Evans on this. Without the wisdom God's word gives, people are prone to throw off all restraint. This is, in fact, a description of our culture today. People are running into walls and down blind alleys for lack of truth. The remedy to the problem is found in hearing and receiving biblical instruction. So, now let me bring that back. And this is why I did this earlier. Earlier I quoted 3 John 4, right? When I was talking about my son, and I was talking about our children, I was talking about spiritual children. 3 John 4 says, I have no greater joy than this to hear of my children walking in the truth. Check out something. Interestingly, the Greek word for truth in 3 John 4 is used right before today's proverb in Proverbs 29, verse 14. If a king judges the poor with truth, his throne will be established forever. If a king judges the poor with truth, His throne will be established forever. Now, talk about a strong position for a king to be in to win the game. That's better than castling, which is a chess move. To protect your king is when you live your lives according to truth. Okay? Living according to truth, the decrees of God, the ordinances of God, the rules of God, is how we win the game. It's how we stay on mission. But once again, the seduction there is you get so caught up in knowing all the nits of the truth that you forget the purpose is the king, not you knowing all the truth. But yet we need to know the truth as part of knowing how our pieces move on the table so that we can accomplish the ultimate goal. But don't get lost. The purpose isn't you knowing all the truth. The purpose is the king. But so many people get caught up than everyone else that they don't actually point anyone to the king. They've lost focus. They become spiritually proud. They become a deaf, dumb, blind idol because they're not worshiping God anymore. But we need to know the truth. Why? Because otherwise we're going to go astray. We're going to throw off restraint. We're going to perish. We're going to live outside of God's purposes for our lives and miss out on the many blessings of knowing God and knowing His Word. But I want us to remember the purpose of the game, the purpose of life. It's the King. It's knowing Him and enjoying Him forever. It's witnessing to what He's done for us through His Son, Jesus Christ. Don't lose sight of that. There are so many things that are grabbing at our attention. We need to communicate the mission. We need to stay focused. We have a lot to learn about ministry in the church from the game of chess. And we're going to transition to action step 3 here. If we're going to communicate the mission through our lives, then we need to know not only the ultimate goal, the king, but we also need to do as unique pieces on the board. Whether you're the pawn or the bishop, whether you're a knight or a rook, we each got to see how we fit into the strategy of God's plans. Okay, so let's look at this third action step. Seek the commander's approval. Seek the commander's approval. You need to play your part. Okay, here's the application. Okay, one of my deepest desires for the congregation is that we would live on mission for God and do what God has called each of us to do in our homes, our workplaces, throughout our community, wherever we go, even to the ends of the earth. My deepest desire for you is that you would experience the good pleasure of God by being obedient to His Word and fulfilling the exact intent for which He created you. And that's going to bring so much joy to your life. And this is why I keep communicating the mission to you, because it's my calling as your pastor to ensure that you can see how you can uniquely move on the chessboard. And that doesn't mean it's going to be the way I can move. I mean, in the last 2 weeks, I've been in the sheriff's department, I've been in the Newcastle Correctional Facility, I've been in the hospital, I've been in numerous nursing homes, you know, I'm moving in different places than you may be moving, but I haven't been in the middle school teaching. You know? I can't be there. Someone else is there. I can see a couple people in there. I haven't been in your school teaching. I haven't been in your workplace working. I haven't been downtown Indy operating a business. I mean, I'm looking around this room, and I am seeing, you know, the nursing home you're working in, you know, the business you're leading, the people you're encountering. I'm sorry. I can't be where you are. I can't do what you're called to do. I can only be faithful to do what I'm called to do. And I can barely keep up with what I'm called to do. I never feel like I can do everything I'm asked to do. But if I can trust you're doing what you're uniquely called to do, and you can trust I'm doing what I'm uniquely called to do, then can you imagine what God can do? But if you're worried about whether I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing, and I'm worried about whether you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, then I'm wasting energy and time, and so are you. We got to trust that there's a God who has a strategy here. And we can't forget the ultimate goal, which is not managing other people's pieces on the table. It is you doing what God's equipped you to do so that the king is the whole point. And don't be jealous of the queen or the rook or the knight. You know what piece I have in my office that reminds me? I have a pawn in my office. That's how I see myself. One move at a time. One little step at a time. I'm just one of those pawns on the table. You know what? I don't want to be anything more than a pawn in the kingdom of heaven. I'd rather be a pawn in the kingdom of heaven than a king here on earth. And God can move me one little step at a time because I can't keep up with much else. One little step at a time, one day at a time. So sometimes part of the problem is we want to be something we're not. Sometimes we want to be elevated. But you know what happens to people who elevate themselves, right? They get sent to the end of the table. So humble yourself. See yourself for who you are. Maybe you are a knight or a rook or a bishop. Maybe you are the queen. Praise be, I'm glad to know you. But be content with who God's made you to be and move with what God's made you to do. You're called by God to discern who he has made you to be. And then we are called to work together in unity, not being covetous or jealous of someone else's calling. But remembering, we all have to work together for who? The king. And if you forget that, it's easy to get caught up in everything else. The drama. Can you believe what that rook did? That pawn doesn't know their place. They can't go backwards. Where there is no vision refers to the absence. Get this. This is powerful. This is a quote from someone else. I love it. Where there is no vision refers to the absence of an open revelation of the word and will of God. It does not necessarily mean that if there are no plans being made, the people will perish. Rather, it calls for prayer, preaching, and consecration so that God's plan for life may be known. This is a call for consecration. This is a call for you to be anointed for who you are, working where you're working. You should be anointed with oil, consecrated, set apart as a priest to bring the word of God to those people. Because that's who God has made you to be. You are a witness. You are the hands and feet of Christ. You are an ambassador, a minister. You are a herald of the good news. And God wants to use you wherever you are. So wherever you are, you're bringing the word. You're on mission. And this is how I see my calling. I get my calling from two verses as your pastor. The first is from Acts 6:4. Acts 6:4 captures the collective voice of the 12 when they were calling forth the deacons of the church. So they were calling forth deacons. Diaconus means servants, by the way. Doesn't mean overlords, decision makers. It means servants. So when the 12, the overseers, the elders of the church, were trying to identify through prayer and fasting those who would serve the local church, they said this: we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. I see myself as one who is 100% committed to prayer and to the ministry of the word. That doesn't mean I'm not going to serve in capacities that are necessary. As you all know, that's a reality of my daily life. But I have to keep in mind that my unique part, my piece, is to focus on the word and prayer. Second thing I get is from Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 to 16. Ephesians 4, 11 to 16. So these are two of my ministry philosophy verses. In other words, how I go about doing what I'm called to do. And one thing I want you to know about me, and when I lead staff meetings and other meetings in the church, is I often pray, Lord, please do not bless our plans, but bless us to be a part of your plans and to know the difference. Lord, please don't bless our plans. You probably didn't think that's a good prayer if I just stopped there, right? But I hope you're the same way as me. Lord, please don't bless my plans, but bless me to be a part of your plan and help me to know the difference. Because one will lead to rest for your soul. One will lead to you being weary and heavy burdened. So let me read to you now Ephesians 4:11-16. And he gave some as apostles and some as prophets and some evangelists and some as pastors and teachers. That's where I see myself. I'm not an apostle. I'm not a prophet. I'm not an evangelist, though I'm called to do the work of an evangelist, right? I'm a pastor teacher. But why did he give these leaders? For the equipping of the saints. Who are the saints? You are. The hagios, the holy ones, those set apart. For the equipping of the saints for the work of service. You are all called to be deacons. Not in the old-fashioned Baptist traditional way of viewing the word deacon, but in the biblical way of saying, let me appoint you. Let me prayer and fast for you and see that there is work that you are called to do. You are called to serve the church, and you as the church are called to serve the community. Come forward for your anointing to be consecrated, to be prayed for, and to be equipped with the word of God, to be released into the world as a witness of the gospel. Go and make disciples of all nations. That's my calling. You are the diakonos. You are the hagios. You are the servants of the church. For the equipping of the saints, for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ until we all attain to the unity of the faith. This job will never be done. Until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man. Now that doesn't mean, it's not about masculine man. It means that one day we're all going to look like one person. We're all going to walk in unity as one body. And the world's going to say, there's one mature man walking down the street. There's one mature church body walking down the street of Newcastle doing great things for our region and our community. We couldn't imagine life without that church, without that mature person who's walking around town doing great things for my community. And you know what? If they're only looking for me to be that person, they might see me in the prison. They might see me in the Henry County Sheriff's Office. They might see me here, but they're probably not going to see me in the school most of the year unless they're at track practice during the spring, when I'm teaching kids how to throw shot put and discus. Pray for those poor kids. Can you imagine having me as your coach? Now let's talk about how discus throwing connects with following Jesus, kids. Let me finish this. As a result, we're no longer, so this is that whole thing, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. As a result, we're no longer to be children. Now, imagine the images of the church being a mature man contrasted with us being like a bunch of children running around. Which one represents the church as you currently know it? I'd say we're probably sometimes this, sometimes that. Sometimes we all look like one and we point to Jesus because we're all remembering the mission and we're all working together for the mission and we're all doing our unique parts for the mission. Other times we're all like, maybe we're squabbling like kids. But that's the goal. So he contrasts. As a result, we are no longer. So my job is to help us look like this mature man and to stop looking like children. We are no longer to be children tossed here and there by waves, carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming, but speaking the truth in love. How do we grow up? By speaking the truth in love. That takes us to 3 John 4. That takes us back to our battle drill. When we know the vision, when we know the truth, we will come together around it. That's the only thing that coalesces us, that brings us together, because there's every wind of doctrine, trickery of men, craftiness and deceitful scheming, but speaking the truth in love, we are to mature, grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part. Did you hear that? According to the what? According to the proper working of each individual part. I cannot make you function according to your design. I can try to motivate you to want to function according to your individual part, but I can't make you. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. You're either going to receive a revelation from God, you're either going to hear the word of God taught and receive that word as from the Lord and then be motivated by the Spirit to do something about it, or this is just going to be something forgotten after lunch. That's a work of the Spirit. I've got to be faithful to teach. Only the Spirit can motivate you to do something about it. But if you want us to be the church on mission, then it requires every single person within the sound of my voice responding. The Bible is very clear. If you do not respond, we will not look like one mature man. Every individual part. Causes. What causes the growth? Each individual part causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. This is the revelation from the Lord, which keeps a person and a people in the way. This is the revelation from the Lord. This is the word of God being taught to you. Outside of the way, you will perish. Outside of the way, you will fall, you will stumble, you'll give up restraint, which is why the church needs to be teaching and catechizing. But this is the word of God. And these are the things that teach us about who we are as men and women. This is what the word of God says about marriage. This is what the word of God teaches, because this is where we find truth. And outside of the truth, outside the revelation of the Lord, we will perish. We will give off restraint. And the church will be off mission. We must know these things. We must lift one another up with the word of God, encourage one another with the word of God, equip one another with the word of God. It is our own strategic plans. Okay, now this is going to be me being a little bit direct to the larger church. It is our own strategic plans filled with mission and vision statements, goals and ambitions, marketing schemes, and church growth strategies that are leading us into worldliness and humanistic approaches. We must return to the Word of God for our mission, for our vision, for everything. And there's only one way forward, and it's Jesus, exalted and lifted up, with every member of the body bowing to Him in submission. And that's what the Bible says in Colossians 1. I'm going to read to you now Colossians 1, 13 to 20, because I want you to hear this revelation. I don't want you to follow me. I want you to follow Jesus. I don't want you to follow my plans. I want you to follow God's plan. I'm here to teach you and pray for you. And I'm here to pray and trust that the Lord will consecrate you and that we will strive to be unified under one head. And that's Jesus. Can't put our hope in a man. Can't put our hope in a denomination. Can't put our hope in organizational management. Those things are all parts of the strategy, but our hope is in the one thing, to accomplish the one purpose, and that's Jesus. So listen to this. Colossians chapter 1, verses 13 to 20. This is beautiful, worth memorizing. For He rescued us from the kingdom of darkness. Who's the He there? Jesus. For Jesus rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by Him all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through Him and for Him. He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. He is also head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that He Himself will come to have first place in everything. For it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in Him. And through Jesus, to reconcile, this is the mission, Jesus came to do this, to reconcile all things to himself, having made peace through the blood of his cross. Through him, I say, whether things on earth or things in heaven. And although you were formerly alienated and hostile in mind, engaging in evil deeds, yet he has now reconciled you in his fleshly body, that through death, in order to present you before blameless, that's consecrated. He is presenting you holy and blameless and beyond reproach. If indeed you continue in the faith firmly established and steadfast and not moved away from the hope of the gospel that you have heard, which was proclaimed in all creation under heaven and of which I, Paul, was made a minister. There it is. Christ came to communicate the mission to us. That's why he came. So this battle drill is called Communicate the Mission. Why did Christ come? He came to communicate the mission. Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way and the truth and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. That's Jesus' words. This is why we were saved, to know God through Jesus Christ, to walk in his ways so that others too can be saved. That's the life of a Christian. That's why you were saved. You were enlisted to be a soldier for this purpose. We are saved for the great rescue mission. We need to communicate the mission. And let me bring it back to Genesis now. Genesis 12, verses 2 to 3. It's always been this, from the first picking, Abram, right? So God chose Abram, the patriarch of our faith. And what did he say to him? In Genesis 12, 2, verses 2 and 3, he said to the great patriarch, I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great. And so you shall be a blessing, and I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth will be blessed. And that takes us to our last action item, the conclusion. Everyone said, hallelujah. Do you know what the punchline is? It says here, you have been enlisted to communicate the great rescue mission of God. Let me make that simpler for you. You are blessed to be a blessing, just like Abraham. That's why Jesus came to bless you. Jesus came to bless you. Jesus came to save you. Jesus came because God loves you. God doesn't want you to perish. God doesn't want you to be unrestrained. God doesn't want you to die in your sin. God doesn't want you to go to hell. God wants you to go to heaven. That's God's desire. He loves you. He loves you. That's why he sent his son, so that you can be forgiven of your sin, so that you can have a right relationship with the Father, so you can walk in the way. He came and showed us the way. He came and showed us the love. He died for our forgiveness. This is why God sent his son, so that from the beginning of his intent of making us as image bearers and saying, I have chosen you to bless the nation so they'll return to me. I have now sent my son Jesus Christ so you can bring that love to the nations. And the strategies of reaching the nations isn't the point. Which nations we go to first isn't the point. The point is that we fulfill his mission. Whether we agree on all the internal strategies of that mission isn't the point. The point is that we're aligned and together on the mission. Because if we divide over the strategies, if we divide over the methods, if we divide over all these details, then we're never going to look like one mature person. We're going to look like a bunch of kids squabbling over lesser secondary details. And that is the problem with the church. If you're going to Charlie Mike, then you must be ready to communicate to others the blessing that you have received, regardless of the circumstances or conditions in which you find yourself. 1 Peter 3:14-16, many of you have memorized parts of this, or you at least know about it. Let me read it to you. 1 Peter 3:14-16. But even if you should suffer for the sake of righteousness, you are blessed. Okay, there is a thought. This may attack your American mindset, because the Bible just said, even if you are suffering for the sake of righteousness, you are blessed. You're blessed. and do not fear their intimidation. Do not be troubled, but sanctify, consecrate Christ as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and reverence. Gentleness and reverence. And keep a good conscience, so that in the thing in which you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ will be put to shame. Show them who do not yet know Christ, Christ, through your testimony and through the dignity and respect you have through your suffering. Whether that suffering is caused through your own pain or that suffering is caused by pain put upon you. That will show people Christ. This is what Revelation 12, verses 10 through 11 teaches us. And this is our last verse for today. We communicate the mission because that is how the mission is accomplished. We communicate the mission because that is how the mission is accomplished. Listen to this. Then I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ has come. For the accuser of our brethren, that's Satan, has been thrown down. He who accuses them before our God day and night, and they overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb, because of the word of their testimony. Did you hear that? They overcame because of the blood of the Lamb and because of the word of their testimony, because they communicated the mission. And they did not love their life even when faced with death. And that's the courage to stay on mission. Father God, we can only Charlie Mike when we have a vision from you. We can only stay on mission when we've received a revelation from you. Your word, Jesus Christ, you are the living word, and you have given us the visible image of the invisible God, and you have given us the Holy Spirit so that we may communicate the love of God to others. Lord, teach us to meditate upon your word day and night. Teach us, Lord, to be like trees planted by streams of living water. Teach us, Lord, to be fruit-bearing branches abiding in the vine. Teach us, O Lord God, to rest in your easy yoke. Teach us, Lord God, that we have been blessed to be a blessing. Teach us, O Father, that we have been enlisted to communicate this mission, your commander's intent. This is why you came. Let us now join with you to seek and to save that which is lost. And let us do so by being witnesses, giving a defense of the hope that we have been given ourselves. And let us be patient and gentle and kind and gracious. Let us forbear with our family members and our friends who do not yet believe. Because God, you love every one of our family members. You love every one of our coworkers. You love every person in this community. You love, Lord, that's who you are. And you sent your Holy Son. Oh, Father, come now. Come now. Send your Holy Spirit upon us and remove the lesser agendas from our lives. Or at a minimum, Lord, would you at least bring them into alignment so that all that we do would serve this purpose, so that we would not be distracted, so that we would not be unrestrained, so that we would not perish, and so that our family members and friends and co-workers and people go to school with us and are on sports teams, so that they too would hear your plan of salvation. Holy Spirit, lead us in response. In Jesus' name, amen.